This is The Takeaway, and I'm Duarte Geraldino. Are we at war?
You know, when we're behind on every single country, trade wars aren't so bad. You understand what I mean by that? When we're down by 30 billion, 40 billion, 60 billion, 100 billion, the trade war hurts them, doesn't hurt us.
That was President Donald Trump back in early March, a couple of weeks before announcing he would impose tariffs on steel and aluminum.
We want to build our ships, we want to build our planes, we want to build our military equipment with steel, with aluminum from our country. And now we're finally taking action to correct this long overdue problem.
The president is now expected to announce another round of tariffs on at least $50 billion worth of Chinese-made products this week, reportedly including some tech products like semiconductors. On Monday, China retaliated by announcing tariffs of their own.
128 U.S. goods,
American meat,
fruit, nuts, wine,
pork, fruits and nuts,
and wine,
and steel and aluminum,
pork and wine.
They're also going to affect about $3 billion of goods.
The market didn't react well at all.
U.S. stocks plummeted after China imposed retaliatory tariffs against the United States.
So we're down 472 points. On the Dow, so we're off those lows, which is close to 700 points, but still a big sell-off today.
A nearly 2% drop on Monday. Clearly, investors are concerned. Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross, not so much.
I think people are altogether too hysterical. I think that calmness is going to be a much more useful investment tool.
Trade wars aren't so bad.
So is this a full-blown trade war, or is it all just hyperbole?
The last time really was 1930, and that was the worst thing ever in economic history. The United States imposed the Smoot-Hawley tariff, and there's an unmistakable link between the Smoot-Hawley tariff and the Great Depression.
Brian Dmitrovic is a senior associate with the Laffer Center and professor of economic history at Sam Houston State University.
We had a huge tariff in 1930 and then a huge income tax increase. The United States had never been burdened with taxation like that before, and we went into the Great Depression.
And that troubles so many of us because in a lot of ways, we're just getting out of the Great Recession, and now these tariffs are being imposed. Do you think that there's a risk that it could trigger a slide back for the American economy?
There is a risk, but there is one crucial difference. We just had a big income tax cut. So we haven't had a big income tax increase and then the tariffs. We had an income tax cut and then a tariff increase. So it's kind of equalized. One would think for the economy really to respond positively now out of the Great Recession would need a further net tax cut.
So there are really two types of tariffs, right? Can you explain the two differences?
Well, the Laffer curve means that if you tax a good too much, then it stops coming into the country and it produces no revenue. The other kind of tariff is for revenue. It's so low that it encourages goods to come into the country en masse, and then the government collects a lot of revenue. And that's a very important and much debated aspect of the tariff over the last 200 years. And it's important to note about that first high tariff, it means that there must be other taxes in the country that make up for the loss in revenue. So if you have a tariff that is so punitive that steel or aluminum or whatever imports don't come into the country that had been taxed before, then you have to raise income taxes or sales taxes domestically to make up for that revenue. So very high tariffs actually can encourage other further high taxation in the economy.
So if we could focus back on our American history, how did the politics play into how tariffs were viewed by consumers and how this country was governed at that time?
The tariff was easily the dominant issue in American politics for the 125 years before 1913, and it was brutal. This country hated the tariff, and that's the reason it was so low. If there had been more indifference about the tariff, it wouldn't have been only collecting 3% of GDP. Today, our tax system collects over 20% of our gross output. It was a brutal issue. And it spoke of cronyism and how government is bribed by industry, and that's why it was always pounded down so low every year.
For some of us, this sort of goes over our heads, but just to sort of clarify right now, tariffs were so successful because of a lack of taxation. How did that change when the income tax went into effect in 1913?
The tariff is an external tax. So people have to volunteer to bring their goods across the ocean to pay this tax. It's very cumbersome in that way. The income tax is an internal tax, the IRS. If you make money in this country, we're going to come get it. So to go on a tax strike in the United States in the internal system, you actually have to not make any money and starve yourself. But to not pay the tariff, you simply don't have to take the goods across the Atlantic Ocean. And so the tariff is a tax system that is much more responsive to people quitting it than the income tax system.
So are we in a trade war right now?
Oh, I would hope it's only the very beginnings and they're going to be cut off. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a reasonable estimation. Nobody in the world wants a trade war because global supply chains are so developed that it would really fell a lot of industrial planning that's taken place over the last generation if there were a trade war. The last time there was a trade war was the 1930s, and it not only resulted in the Great Depression, but World War II.
But right now, again, this is just the beginning of this process. For the normal consumers, what should we be thinking about this? How should we be responding?
We should notice if our cars go up by $500 a pop, which apparently is going to be the effect of this steel and aluminum tariffs. And if so, that means that our real income will go down. Our employers will have to pay us more for us to keep those jobs. And we will have higher unemployment. So I think consumers should be very concerned and make it clear in the political process that taxes and perhaps tariffs have to go down.
Now, we just saw the first wave of retaliation tariffs from China. Do you think that there are some products that are so almost holy in the U.S. that if it were touched, it would be a clear sign that we are in a trade war?
I imagine there are some national security products that could be protected by prohibitive tariffs. Outside of that, the pace of innovation in this global economy is so great, it's very difficult to identify a holy product. I mean, the United States produces steel right now without thinking about it. It's so much more productive than it was 30 or 40 years ago. So I actually would find that hard to answer outside of national security, strictly defined.
And what about our farmers? Because they say that they may feel it particularly hard.
Well, if other countries impose tariffs, yeah, our farmers are going to find the bite, because America is the breadbasket of the world. So that has historically been one effect of tariffs imposed in one country, is that there's a reverberation effect. Other countries do the same. And then industries that never had to do with the first tariff all of a sudden are hit very hard by the response tariffs.
Thank you very much, Brian Dmitrovic, Senior Associate with the Laffer Center and Professor of Economics at Sam Houston State University.
Thank you.
China's taking aim at 128 U.S. produced goods by imposing a 15 to 25% tariff on all sorts of items, from pork to oranges, apples, and almonds. But one notable agricultural commodity slipped by, for now that is, soybeans. The United States exports about $14 billion in soybeans annually, making China the number one customer for American soybeans. But some predict soybeans could be the next tariff target if the escalation between China and the U.S. continues. Wayne Fredericks is a soybean farmer from Osage, Iowa. He's been farming for more than 44 years. He also serves on the American Soybean Association Board of Directors, and he joins me now. Hey there, Wayne.
How are you doing today?
Doing well. So how many soybeans do we actually export to China annually?
Well, if we look at our total U.S. production, over half of our soybeans go into the export market. That includes China and our other exporting countries. But when it comes down to a simple explanation, about one out of every three rows goes to China. About a third of our total production goes to that country. So it's by and far and large our single largest customer. And that's what makes us awful concerned about these trade wars that potentially are developing here.
You've traveled to China yourself over the years to help develop these trade relationships. Do you believe that tariffs could undermine some of that work?
I'm concerned about it. I really am. I sit there last night looking back a little bit over, you know, our history with China. And, you know, last September, we celebrated 35-year partnership with China in developing that market. And I've had the opportunity to host Chinese buyers on my own farm when they come to visit and look at our soybean harvest. And we've created a tremendous market in that country.
If U.S. soybeans become too expensive, do you think China's going to look, say, to South America or some other area of the world?
Well, South America is primarily the only other area besides the United States and will become by far the residual supplier. And when you're the residual supplier, you're not the one that, you know, gets the best price. And so,
did it happen before?
Well, I farmed long enough to remember what happened when the Jimmy Carter had the grain embargo back in the 70s. You know, we were, markets were rolling right along and looking good. And at that time, we had a unilateral grain embargo. At that time, Japan was our largest buyer of soybeans, and that country didn't hesitate at all about making investments somewhere else in the world to ensure protection of their supply, and that somewhere else happened to be Brazil. And I'm very aware of the Chinese investment down there in infrastructure currently going on.
Wayne, so there is this theory in warfare that you don't strike with your most powerful weapon first. Do you think that it's possible that China could be holding a possible soybean tariff as that ultimate punishment in this escalating trade conflict with the U.S.?
Very well could be. That's the fear out here in farm country, is they're going to come back. They said they would come back. Yesterday, they come back with the tariffs on, especially on pork, and their friends in the pork industry are seeing that price reaction today, and we're fully aware of that same thing happening on soybeans.
Did you vote for President Donald Trump?
Yes, I did. It was kind of one of them elections that, what's the lesser of two evils in some cases. But yes, we did.
And how are you feeling about your choice now?
Well, I still sit there and you look at what our alternatives might have been. And so it's a crazy way to do business. It's not the way I'm kind of used to doing business. And, you know, maybe long-term down the road, this thing will work out for the betterment of trade for countries. But, boy, in the meantime, it's a very painful situation to be going through. And, you know, we've always said, we have the ability to produce and market, and that's the best way to improve the trade balance is to sell them more. And right now, that's not the argument we're having out there.
Wayne Fredericks, an Iowa farmer and member of the American Soybean Association's board of directors since 2015. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yesterday on the show, we heard from Wayne Fredericks. He's a soybean farmer from Iowa who was concerned that China might slap a tariff on his crop. Well, overnight, China announced they do plan to impose tariffs on soybeans. And today, Wayne Fredericks told us he saw the markets plunge this morning. He's worried.
Sure. You know, I make a living by raising corn and soybeans, and when these markets go down like that, it really affects my bottom line. And the tariffs on steel affects the cost of our machinery and equipment that we buy as well. So we're kind of getting hit from both the products we buy and the products we sell. So it's a double whammy for agriculture.
Are you worried about how the tariffs could affect your industry? Tell us on Twitter. We're at The Takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.